At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, today on the show, we are going to give our review of Donald Trump as the host of the Kennedy Center Honors, as well as discuss Marjorie Taylor Greene's transformation from Trump cheerleader to Trump adversary. But before we get into all that, we want to remind you, you can support us on Substack. We've got a paid tier. You're going to help us go to all the terrible, terrible places that we go. DeVram, before we get into this Kennedy Center honors thing, did you know who was honored there at the Kennedy Center?
I did not. Okay. I'm excited to learn about this. Yeah.
Well, Sly Stallone, Kiss, Gloria Gaynor, I probably butchered her name, but it's not the worst thing. It's not the worst like case scenario for Donald Trump, you know, hosting this and picking the people. Like Sly Stallone, obviously, Rocky's a classic. Mm-hmm. Kiss, you know, say what you will about their music, they are iconic in their own way. Right. I Will Survive is a great song. So it's not like he had Kid Rock honored there. But before Donald Trump, you know, took the stage to host this, he was asked some questions by reporters. I want to play this.
Mr. President, now we know that you've hosted before The Apprentice for many years. Could you imagine next year maybe you're not hosting, but maybe you receiving a Kennedy Center honor?
That's an interesting one. I haven't thought of that. Yeah, I think I'm going to nominate myself for next year.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wait, make it about myself? No.
What? What a reporter to come up with such a hardball question get an interesting, insightful response. Like, why would you bother?
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know who the reporter is. I don't know if it was somebody being like, I'm going to ask this question to try and get this soundbite, like being like, because he's going to do it. He's probably thinking about it anyway, maybe like being the first person to get that. But of course, Donald Trump is going to make it all about himself. He said he was 98% involved in picking the people to be honored this year. And I think there were five or four. So it's like, I don't know what that means. That's the division doesn't make sense. Like maybe
if he's involved in four out of five,
it wouldn't be in there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, well, I didn't want the tongue. That's that 2%.
I said no to that,
fan of the
but
tongue.
They, you know, they overruled me. They're tough at the Kennedy Center.
Now, DeBron, you didn't watch this, right? You didn't.
I did not.
Okay. So I am going to ask you a question. I just want you to answer it honestly to the best of your ability. And you always are. Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's the whole point of the show, to tell the truth. So do you think Donald Trump would make this about himself? Obviously, we're honoring all these great artists. Is he going to make this about himself or is he going to stick to the praise of the artist?
No. I think last night was the night he finally became president.
Okay.
I think he probably, just last night, he finally realized he didn't want to make everything about himself and that's not what the office of president is actually all about. So I think he changed last night.
Okay. Turned over a new leaf. So this is a big moment. Historic, if you will. Before the show, he was like, you know what? I'm hosting. There's a lot of great hosts. There's Johnny Carson. We love Johnny Carson. We really do. We love him. He was great. Do. And there's bad hosts like Jimmy Kimmel. He's terrible. The worst.
Right.
But, you know, he's setting himself up to be like, you know, there's pressure. You know, you got to host this thing. It's not what he's used to doing. So let's just watch a little bit of this. This is the AP was taking this video.
The first time that a president of the United States has ever hosted
this phenomenal event. I don't know why I'm doing it. And I'll tell you what, the Trump Kennedy Center, I mean, Trump Kennedy Center, I'm sorry. Oh, this is terribly embarrassing.
Well, I agree with him on that.
Yeah.
it is there, not just for him, but for the country as a whole. It is terribly, terribly embarrassing. So that was beautiful, Mr. President. I just want to say,
yeah, what that moment that, of candor through it all. Yeah, just no. Like that, this is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
But when he says like the Trump Kennedy Center, he does this like old man kind of mumble.
Yeah.
That I feel like I've seen before in old people where it's like they're telling a joke and then there's like a little bit of a mumble afterwards. And like, he just seems so old right now. Like,
well,
even if you don't like that, he's falling asleep in meetings. Like what, age?
Age being the biggest factor there.
I could have set you up better for that. I'm sorry.
Getting very old. But also it's like he's got a mouthful of water and there's like it dribbles out at the end or something. Like he's talking and there's a little extra dribbles out at the end, whether it's, you know, water, applesauce, or
he's gonna come whatever his last year in office, or he's gonna be like in a wheelchair, like slumped over drooling, and they're gonna be like MAGA people are be like, he just owned the libs. That's so right. This is
someone's
so
gonna
awesome.
Like lift up his arm and hand him some sort of prize that they made up for him to win.
Was that thing from South Park where the Pope is like, I poop my pants. I poop my pants. What did you say? Mr. Pope, what did you say? I poop my pants. Maybe we'll hear that from Trump and they'll be like, he just owned the libs. They're right. Never going to recover from this. So a lot of people were honored there at the Kennedy Center. And I think, DeVrom, next year, this is our year. We got to make a hard push to see if we can be honored at the Kennedy Center by Donald Trump. Or if Donald Trump is the one who is honored at the Kennedy Center, I think we got to make a strong push to be the people to, you
present,
know, give a speech, to present the honor to him. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you in? So or if you anyone out there is listening, has got any poll at the Kennedy Center, Sylvester Stallone, Kiss, you guys would now have a close relationship with Donald Trump.
Do you know who's on the board at the Kennedy Center? J.D. Vance's wife,
right,
and Laura Ingraham. So if we could just get in with Laura Ingraham, I feel like we could definitely do this. We could either be honored or give a speech.
So Laura Ingraham, if you are listening, please reach out. This
yes.
is of great interest to the Good Liars.
Yes, and the country. I think we need to raise the stakes here a little bit. Okay, so also last night, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Ever heard of her, DeVrom? Ever heard of her? You ever met her? Ever interrupted a speech of hers?
I have. Remember the first time we ever heard of her? Someone we were talking to was calling her Major Taylor Greene.
Major Taylor Greene.
Kind of the first time we ever heard of her.
I think we knew that there was like somebody who believed in Q who was running for Congress, and he was like, Major Taylor Greene is going to be there in the White House, I think is what he said.
Right.
And she has been a big supporter of Donald Trump over the years, the last, you know, I mean, since she started trying to get into public life, I think, you know, six years ago, maybe 7 years ago. And now they're having a little bit of falling out, and it's sad to see friends break up, especially
right.
people who
but
are
maybe
still
she's
close.
Got that Elon Musk future where they feud and then they get back together.
They get back together
for monetary purposes. Who knows?
Yes.
But yes. It has been. I don't want to pave over that. It has been so, so heartbreaking.
It's so sad. And like you said the other day on the show, why do bad things happen to good people? And I feel like both of them is just, you know, they're good people. But so she was on 60 Minutes. I want to play a little bit of the interview here.
They're terrified to step out of line and get a nasty Truth Social post on them. Yes.
And they're watching what happened to you.
Yes.
Behind the scenes, do they talk differently?
Yes.
How?
It would shock people.
Well, let's shock people.
Okay. I watched many of my colleagues go from making fun of him, making fun of how he talks, making fun of me constantly for supporting him, to when he won the primary in 2024, they all started, excuse my language, Leslie, kissing his ass and decided to put on a MAGA hat for the first time.
I love that she's adopted this new personality where she's just like, pardon my French. I'm so sorry.
Pardon me. The last thing I want to do is upset good people out there watching your show, Leslie. I have the utmost respect for you and always have for the media, of course. I'm here.
This is a little crass. Wasn't there a video of her, like, when she was working out being like, Joe Biden, fuck you, or something like that? Like, you could kiss my ass. Sure.
Yeah.
And it's like, now she's just like, oh, I've made this transformation and I just really need you to forgive
me. So what's this transformation? I don't know if you had if you were going to ask me the same question, but what is it? What do you make of it? There's a few things going on here, it seems.
What I make of it is, I think it's opportunistic. If you were going to look at this,
certainly at the very least that, but what's the actual plan here? What's the plan? How is this going to play out in her head? That's going to be to her advantage. She's certainly not like doing this because she's clutching her pearls about what she's just recently, her revelations on MAGA and Donald Trump, because this is something she participated in and old news to her. So
I think if you're going to look at this from maybe there's a world where this is the truth. Okay. This might be true, that she was, you know, doing this stuff with the Epstein files, trying to get the Epstein files released. And she was talking to survivors and she was part of this bipartisan push to like release the files, and that Donald Trump, she reached out to Donald Trump and said, why won't we release the files? And Donald Trump said, because there's innocent people in there that would be hurt by it, which is like totally disregarding the actual innocent people who were hurt by Jeffrey Epstein. And right. She, like, if this transformation is totally true and legit, then she was like, what is going on here? I truly believe in this, and I'm going to stand by this, and I'm going to make this push to release the files, because these victims deserve justice.
But that's what she wants us. That's what the optics she hopes are. Right.
And I do think it's probably true. I mean, I think like, it's like partly, Jeffrey Epstein, kinda, besides the conspiracy theory, is like
part of that is true. Yes.
Part of that is true. And then I think when he started to go after her, she was like, she was like, I have to make a decision here. And also, like, maybe they're going to lose the midterms, Republicans, not that her seat would be in jeopardy, but she's getting a way out of it. And also, like, the other thing that she said is, like, I think the Charlie Kirk assassination affected her. And she was like, I don't, like, this is a, things are very bad in the country. And this is all the story that she's telling. And again, we've seen her, you know, that event that you interrupted her at, like, she was saying some really terrible things there and like singing praise.
That's why it's hard to buy the like, oh, political tensions are turned up and that's, you know, causing issues with me and rubbing me the wrong way and now I'm gonna leave. And to me, it has to all be about opportunism, or mostly be about opportunism, and I'm just trying to figure out exactly why. Seems to me like she's getting out on a moral high ground. And she sees that Donald Trump is declining, and she's imagining, like you said, that
physically as well as like in the polls,
physically declining as the word
deteriorating
out of the side of his mouth. And she's seeing this and possibly losing the midterms. There's no reason to be part of the. She rode the wave to national attention, and there's no reason to ride it back down and then have to like sort through what's going on after the midterms. Right. I think in her calculations, she can get out on a moral high ground and then come back in when the time is right and reintroduce herself as having been one of the people who made a stand. And she doesn't have to be part of what will probably be a pretty ugly year as they try and suppress these files as the midterms come up, and there's going to be a ton more fighting, and
she'll rise like a phoenix from the ashes.
She will rise at the moment of her choosing, as opposed to like having to fight in day in and day out and either decide to support him, which is going to not look good after she's made this big stand against him, or oppose him and then deal with all of these threats and the eventual loss in the midterms, maybe.
Okay, probably. Well, on that note, DeVron, so if she could come back and support him. I mean, after this part, I'm going to play another clip from the 60 Minutes interview. It seems hard to believe that she would come back and support him, but then again, Lindsey Graham is supporting Donald Trump after basically right. disavowing him on
Can we get 60 Minutes? It's a little long, right? Can we go 59 minutes? Can we just do 59 minutes? Give the viewers a minute to breathe.
46 with commercials, maybe 44. 44 with commercials.
43 then. I don't know. I'm just saying it drags.
All right. All right. Well, there's a new head of CBS. Maybe they'll take that advice.
President Trump called me a traitor. I got a pipe bomb threat on my house. And then I got several direct death threats on my son.
On your son?
On my son.
You say the president put your life in danger. You blame him. You say he fueled a hotbed of threats against me, and that you blame him for the threats against your son.
The subject line for the direct death threats on my son was his words, Marjorie Traitor Greene. Those are death threats directly fueled by President Trump. I told him. I told J.D. Vance, I told them all, sent those directly to them.
In response?
J.D. Vance replied back to me, we'll look into it. I got response back from President Trump that I will keep private, but it wasn't very nice.
Give us a hint of what the president said.
It was extremely unkind.
Her life is in danger? Who's that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said.
Marjorie Traitor Greene. I don't think her life is in danger. I don't think, frankly, I don't think anybody cares about her.
Oh, yeah. What times we are in. You can disagree with someone, but death threats against them and their families. I just know that she was giddy with the way he would talk about Democrats for years now. So right. it's not like there's any tit for tat that I think is necessary here. Nobody should be getting death threats, but she was glad to be on the side of, you know, many of these death threats. So every time he would say these things about people, they'd get death threats, and she didn't seem to care about it then. So yeah, again, no tit for tat thing here, but like, it's hard. It's so odd. It's odd to watch her try and be so sympathetic when it was just part of her. It was her whole thing.
Changing her character. She's trying to do the WWE pro wrestling face turn,
right?
Going from heel to
face. I think she's succeeding. I mean, I think it's just if she sticks with this for a while, like I said, and then she kind of like picks her time to reemerge, that she'll seem somehow, and you never could have convinced me this a while ago, but she'll seem like the voice of reason, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Wild. I know. Weather manipulation. The hurricanes are caused by the government. And now she's like, we gotta just be, there's too much crazy
stuff. Turn the temperature down here, guys. This is the temperature down.
And the government can do that with the weather manipulation if they wanted to. They get much colder. So that's her transformation. I do want to say, you know, we say some bad things about Donald Trump sometimes. I do want to say that I think it's good that he got rid of his first nickname for her, which was Marjorie Taylor Brown. Because green grass turns brown when it rots, and he had to explain his joke.
Was that real?
That's real. I swear to God. That was his first tweet. And then somebody else was like, oh, I don't know about that one.
So
how about Marjorie Traitor? He's like, okay, yeah, that's better. That's better. It has a better ring to it. All right. Well, that's a wrap up of the news today. DeVron, before we get out of here, any words of wisdom to the audience?
Leave the nuts, a bag of nuts, leave them in the fridge. If they're room temperature, they will be mealy. They'll turn to like a almond butter texture in your mouth. Put them in the fridge. They're crunchy. They'll have a little more resistance when you bite into them, and it'll be a good experience instead of just like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here with this walnut and cashew and raisin mixture that's all just turning into a paste in my mouth?
Thank you, DeVron. Powerful words of wisdom today. Always appreciate it. I'm gonna be thinking about that for a long time. And I'll be thinking about that when I've got those nuts stuck in my teeth all day from eating them.
You're welcome.
Which happens sometimes, and we don't talk about that enough. And I think we should talk about that a little bit more. All right, for all of us here at The Good Liars, I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you again soon. Goodbye, DeVron. Say bye, please.
Goodbye.